All glory to some of the devotees. All glory to some of the devotees. All glory to some of the devotees. The glory to Shankar and Shri Gauranga. Today is a very auspicious day. It is Gopashtami, and it's also a celebration of Gadadhar Pandit. And also Srinivasacharya and Dhananjaya Pandit. So I have 5 classes to give in a short time. So we'll start with the Bhagavatam reading. We're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 6. And what verse is that? 23 and 24.
Okay.
So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is a chapter Purusha Sukta confirmed. Text 24. Teshu yagnasya bhashavah Sabanas patya kushah Idam cha devayajhana Kalascho gunambitah. Please chant.
Teshu yajna sabha.
Pashavaha. Savanashpataya Kushaha. Idam Chadeva Yadhanam.
Teshu in such sacrifices, Yagnasya of sacrificial performance, Pashavaha, the animals or the sacrificial ingredients, Savanas Patyaha, along with flowers and leaves, Kushaha, the straw, even all these, cha, and also, Deva Yajanam, the sacrificial altar, Kalaha, a suitable time, cha, as always, also, Uru, great, Guna Anvitaha, qualified. Translation. For performing sacrificial ceremonies, one requires sacrificial ingredients such as flowers, leaves, and straw, along with a sacrificial altar and a suitable time, spring. Text 25, we can just read it together. Vastinya oshadaya sneha rasaloha mudojaram vichaya jinshi samani chaturhokyam chasattamam. Translation and purport. Other requirements are utensils, grains, clarified butter, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, and Samaveda, and four priests to perform the sacrifice. To perform a sacrifice successfully, at least four expert priests are needed. One who can offer, Uta, one who can chant, Ugata, one who can kindle the sacrificial fire without the aid of separate fire, Avarayu, and one who can supervise Brahma. Such sacrifices were conducted from the birth of Brahma, the first living creature, and were carried on till the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But such expert Brahmin priests are very rare in this age of corruption and quarrel, and therefore in the present age only the yajna of chanting the holy name of the Lord is recommended. The scriptures enjoin Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Kalura Maske, 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 Bhakti Nama. Nama Vishnu, Vana 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 Vishnu. So we're discussing a little bit about the creation and how Lord Brahma he did his tapasya and was worshipped the Lord, and he was a beginning of this sacrifice ceremony, yajna. For us though, as it's describing here, we don't really qualify for that. First of all, we're not very patient. I know I'm extremely, when it comes to fire yajnas, I'm totally, my patience runs out very quickly. And these yajnas used to go on for days, weeks, sometimes for like a whole year. They would be sitting there doing all these offerings. And of course the offerings, gold and so many different ingredients that we just don't even have. And then the priests were very qualified. They could chant all the mantras perfectly. I mean, I'm sure I completely blew the Sanskrit on these verses. What less all these complicated Rig Veda, Samaveda. We just don't make it for this kind of sacrifice in this age. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has concluded that in this age, when we're very crippled in many regards, and we're very disturbed in mind, that the chanting of the holy name is the process. We used to chant this mantra, Harinama, Harinama, on Sankirtan all the time, to help remind us that, yes, this is our greatest contribution of chanting the holy names. I actually, I'm on the way to Harinam, I was studying for this class, reading some things, and by the time I got to the chanting at the stadium, I was pretty fired up. And it was really wonderful, because you could actually experience the what we're giving to people. I mean, these people really needed it. This is a big game, and they were very intoxicated. And you could just see that in this age, that's all they could handle, was for us to sing and dance and chant in their face and try to get them to take a book, and unfortunately we didn't have any prasadam. But this is definitely the recommended process for this age. And so therefore, Prabhupada simplifies our yajna performances at the temple. Actually, he's talking about not having the proper ingredients here in this age. One of the first initiation ceremonies, the people that were initiated didn't even know what initiation really meant, but they were told to go get ghee for the fire, and they came back with butter. They didn't know what ghee was, and they put butter on the fire, and of course it, you know, spurted, you know, sputtering all over the place. So this is evidence that we can't quite do what Lord Brahma was doing. So therefore, Prabhupada kept it very simple. And even now, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's compared to what was going on here, it's very simple. I was at the installation of the deities of Krishna Balaram temple, and I was already a devotee 5 years, I think. But still, when I went into that arena, it took them 2 or 3 days to set it up. I was just like, what is going on here? You know, all these big priests were putting up these, you know, putting clothes on, you know, cloth on coconuts and doing all these strange things that we'd never seen before. And I couldn't understand what was going on. Even during the ceremony, they had so many people, so many things going on. It went on for a day or two. The Prabhupada said that the chanting was the real initiation into the installation of the deities. So this Hare Krishna mantra, also our first initiation, is the mantra given to us by the spiritual master, this Hare Krishna mantra. As we'll talk about later, there was Srinivasacharya. He was able to soften the heart of the king Biranbir, and of course the king had everything he could ever want. But after he was influenced by Srinivasacharya, his greatest wealth was when Srinivasacharya whispered in his ear the holy names and actually initiated him. He said, that is my real wealth, the real value of my kingdom and of myself. So there's a nice few verses in the song about this wealth that we have been given in the form of the holy name. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It is splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So our real duty is to distribute this. I mean, it's such a glorious, glorious thing. It is reigning supreme above every single thing you could ever possibly imagine. Therefore, Prabhupada took that mission to come over here and instilled in our hearts that his mission should be carried on by us. That it is our duty, above all duties, is to distribute this holy name for others. It's our duty to go out there on the streets and into the stupid football games and chant so they can hear, so they can have contact with the holy name, with Krishna. Recently there's been this threat of nuclear war, you know, buzzing all around in the news and everything. And I visited one little site, and it tells you where to go in your house, or how to be the safest, or what to do. And even I've heard that if you cover yourself with cow dung, or you have a house completely covered with cow dung, it can stop the radiation. So many different ways you can avoid the disaster. But Srimad Bhagavatam says that the safest place is kirtan. So just to be in the association of devotees and the association of the holy name is our saving grace by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Also the Bhagavad Gita says that the chanting of the holy name, that is our tapasya, japa. This is our sacrifice. It's only a couple hours for some people. Probably most of us, it is a sacrifice to, in our busy Kali Yuga, you know, race of things we have to do, to spend 2 or 3 hours chanting is like, wow, you know, to deal with the mind. Very difficult, even. But we should be satisfied just to perform this simple yajna of chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada insisted, the one thing that he really insisted on was that we chant at least 16 rounds a day, over and over again. And he says, if you have spare time, chant more, or read more. So this is something that we should make as our goal in life, is to increase that quality of the chanting, such that we're not making offenses. And we were really taking advantage of that tapasya, of the, what we get from doing the sacrifices. We get such benediction. And then, of course, to go out and to benedict others. I was, when I first came to the movement, within a couple of days, I heard about the holy name, and I had my Java beads right away. And they said, if you chant one perfect round, you can hear Krishna's flute. And I go, wow, that would be pretty far out. I said, I bet you in 2 weeks I can master this. I can chant. In 2 weeks I'll have it together and I'll be hearing that flute. And guess what? 52 years later, still waiting. But I was listening to a lecture the other day, and someone was asking Prabhupada, you know, how long does it take to become pure devotee? And he says, it can just take a minute. And he goes, but to really chant, you know, and he says, the number came up 50 years. Can we do it in 50 years? And Prabhupada paused for a minute and goes, I think 50 years. So for us who've been around that long, we should get our act together because it's been enough time now. So this is the Bhagavatam message for today, is that in this age of Kali, the means of deliverance is, and the only means of deliverance, the only way is to chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord. So today also is Gopastami. It's a joyful celebration. It's when Krishna entered his Poganda age, where he was old enough to not just take care of the calves, but to also take care of the cows. And he was being bugged by his peers that, come on, we're old now, we should be doing something else besides just with the calves. And so Ananda Maharaj also at that time was thinking, well, he's getting a little bit grown up, he's becoming a big boy, I should go ask Mother Yasoda if it's all right, if they can be promoted now to take care of the cows. And when Mother Yasoda heard this, she said, no way, I'm too scared, this is too scary, he can't go out with those big cows. And Rohini also was there and said, Rohini agreed, no, this cannot happen. I said, I'll be worried the whole time, I'm already a worried board. I'll be worried the whole time about with the big cows, and going far away, I won't be able to see him all day, there's just no way. And so Nanda Maharaj said, okay, you know, it's hard when the woman is the head of the household. The boys were wanting to. And then one day what happened was that they came back and somehow or other Krishna had gotten lost. And it was all the way into the evening and still Krishna was lost. And so, of course, Mother Yasoda was totally worried. And so after that, Nanda Maharaj said, you know this wouldn't happen if he was with us, with the Gopas. So maybe you'd like to change your mind. So she did. She changed her mind and agreed that now there would be a festival to announce that Krishna and his friends were going to now take out the cows. And so this was a nice festival. And Krishna also had, in the back of his mind, he was thinking that I really need to be promoted, because as in the most cultures, that when you're very young, you are just with your mother all day long. Your father's out working and everything, so you're with your mother and you're very intimate with her, and but you don't get the association, the close association of your father. I know it was very true of me. And so Krishna's thinking, I really would like to be with my father and get some training. And I can ask questions, and I can learn how to take care of the cows better. And so he saw that this was, I really should be able to take out the cows. I can ask questions like to Nanda Maharaj, why do monkeys have tails and we don't? You know, really difficult questions like that. Or why the peahen is uglier than the male peacock? And why is that leaf on the peepal tree, why does it have a beard? And so these were different inquiries that he would be able to sit down and talk to the cowherd men with. And he was also thinking that this would increase the separation of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Now I'd be out all day long, not just for a little while, and I'd be gone. And so that would increase that attachment for me. But of course the calves, they would get the raw end of the deal, because they would be separated from Krishna. And then you also had the thought that I've been restricted to a certain area. It was such that, you know, at least the mothers could kind of see the cows and make sure everything was all right. But now I'm going far away. And so when I was very close, I could only kill some little demons. But now I can go out, and there's other demons way out there that I can take care of. And so this was also a meaning of why he needed to be elevated to a cowherd boy. And so the village had a three-day celebration. And this was not just a puny little thing. This was this was showing the lifestyle, the abundance that they had to put on a big festival. Just from taking care of the cows, they had so many wonderful, wonderful luxurious things. They had gold, and they had cloth, beautiful cloth, and tons of food. They had seven hills of grain. That's a lot of grain. And that the bulls were bringing in, and that they were growing. So it was a wonderful, wonderful festival, and they gave thousands of cows in charity, and they were all decked out. All the cows got beautifully decorated. On Facebook you can see some pictures of how they decorate cows in India. It's amazing. They have big peacock feather headdresses, and they have gold on their feet and on their things, and they have beautiful capes, gorgeous capes, all beautiful silks. And this still goes on in some places. That they, even in the Netherlands, there's a special festival when all the cows come down. Richard sends it every year, and they decorate their cows when they come down from the forest to the city, and there's like hundreds of them, and everyone lines the streets, and these cows are so decked out, it's amazing. Big, huge bells, and the sounds of the bells all coming down the streets, it's just a wonderful sight. So this was what was going on during that festival, and of course, Krishna is very excited to actually go out and begin taking care of the cows. And in connection with this also, there's a wonderful pastime where Krishna, of course, is with the cowherd boys all day, when he was feeling very much separation from Radharani. And he thought, what to do? You know, it's so hard because the parents don't want an association between us, and what to do? So he called on his confidant, Subal, to please come. And I wanted to tell you that I'm really depressed. I really need to be with Radharani. You're my closest associate. You must figure out something to do. This is your mission. Somehow or other, you figure out how we can get together. And so Subal was like, what to do, what to do? You know, there's Jatila sitting there right around his place, holding the stick all the time. No way I'm going to get in there and get in to see Radharani. She's locked in her room. And so then he had some little inclinations. So he picked up a calf and he walked over to the residence of Radharani and let the calf go and pushed him kind of into the area where Radharani lives. And then he sees Jatila and he starts walking in. He just walks into the compound and Jatila's there with the stick and says, ah, what are you doing here, Subal? And he says, I'm just looking for the calf. She goes, I know that your trickster friend Krishna must be with you because you're never without him. He must be here somewhere. What are you doing? You know you're not supposed to be here. And so he goes, no, I had a calf and Krishna told me to go find it. It's been lost and I must find it. And someone said they saw it over here. And if I don't come back with that calf, I'm in big trouble. And so Jatila goes, all right, you just get that calf and you leave. And so it just so happens that Subal and Radharani are lookalikes. And so he approached Radharani and explained to Radharani the situation that Krishna was such anxiety, really wanted to be with her. And so he had a plan. Because she said, there's no way I'm getting out of here with Jatila sitting on the front doorstep. No way. And so he goes, listen, let's just change clothes. I'll put your clothes on, you put my clothes on, and you carry the calf to kind of cover you here, and you walk out, and I'm sure it'll work, and you can go and visit your loved Krishna. And so they switch clothes, and she puts on a dhoti and carries the calf in her arms, and more or less waves goodbye to Jatila, and she's off to see Krishna, who doesn't recognize her at all because she's such in such resemblance to himself until she gets very close. And of course then they are able to enjoy nice pastimes. So in some very fortunate temples today, they get to have the darshan of Radharani dressed in a dhoti with her feet showing and holding a calf. So maybe someday we'll be able to do that here. And so also today is the disappearance or appearance day, I'm not sure which, of Gadadhar Pandit, who we sing and glorify every day in the Pancha Mantra, and who adorns our altar also. And so Gadadhar is considered the luster of Srimati Radharani. And is the Shakti Tatva. And that means that he's the chief association of Lord Chaitanya in the Madhurya Ras. So it's described that Gadadhar Pandit was actually a combination of the incarnation of the gopi Chandrakanta and also of Balaram's girlfriend, Puranada. And so this is a combination. So he was very dear to Lord Chaitanya and to Lord Nityananda. Gadadhar lived very close to Lord Chaitanya in the younger years, and they became playmates and also schoolmates. And they enjoyed their association. Actually, they couldn't be separated at any time. They were so close. But when Lord Chaitanya started to become very scholastic and started doing his kind of arrogance position of being a teacher and everything, that Gadadhar just didn't jive with Gadadhar because it wasn't the mood. But later when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya and came back in a different mood, Gadadhar Pandit was the first one to recognize that now Lord Chaitanya was starting this pastime of the highest mood of love for Radharani. So he was very conscious of Lord Chaitanya's moods. And many times when Lord Chaitanya would be in ecstasy of different sorts, that he was the one that would be know exactly how to calm him down. So this was a very intimate association that he had, that they had together. And he was remained a brahmacharya, and I became his whole life, and became a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and the chief companion of Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvip Kirtan pastime, Sankirtan pastimes. He was an expert in preaching and also in the water sports of Lord Chaitanya. And he was told later on by Lord Chaitanya that you should go and accompany Lord Nityananda to preach in the Gaudadesh. And so he did that for many years, and he was very effective in converting many people and delivering sinful people. Later on, he came back and took care of Mother Sachi and Vishnupriya after Lord Chaitanya left. So he did that for quite a while. And he was very empowered in his ability to preach. At one time, he went to a very antagonistic Mohammedan Qasi, who was complaining about the Sankirtan movement, and he was able to actually soften that Qazi's heart just by his effulgence and beauty. When the Qazi saw him, his heart began to soften. And then Gadadhar just described, you know, what Lord Chaitanya was doing, what their mission really was, and how it would benefit everybody. And soon the Qazi said that, you know, he agreed, became favorable, and he says, Gadadhar asked him, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And then Gadadhar said, Qazi said, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow, but I not today. And Gadadhar goes, you already chant Hare Krishna, you might just start today, why wait till tomorrow? So this was some of his potency that he got. And then he journeyed to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya asked him to care for Tota Gopinath, beautiful deity, gorgeous, gorgeous deity, very big deity, there near that mound where the that temple is. And after he got very old, he was unable to really reach the deity, arthritis, and so many things. When you get old, you can't do what you used to do. And so he was not able to serve him properly, and he felt very bad. So the deity actually sat down so that he could worship him. So these are some of the pastimes of Gadadhar who we can meditate on. And then also today is the appearance or disappearance day of Dhananjaya Pandit, part of the Chaitanya tree. He was born during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, such a fortunate soul. And when he was born, everyone could actually see great signs that he was going to be a very great personality. He had those long arms that reached down to his knees. Actually, there was one devotee that lived here. His name was Aravinda. And he went to someplace in the east, I forget, Tibet. He went to Tibet. And he came back and he gave a class and he showed a picture. He goes, of a pujari that he had met. And he said, what's different about this picture? And actually, the pujari's hands were all the way down to his knees. It was really, I mean, it's really long, you know. So this was a prominent of the features of Dhananjaya Pandit. And he was fortunate to take part in the Navadvip Kirtans and Sankirtans that were going on. And he was, in Krishna Lila, he was Krishna's and Balaram's friend, Vasudama, who was one of the 12 Gopals of Balaram. He was very dedicated, therefore, to Lord Nityananda. And he was also kind of took in his footsteps that he was very renounced, but he was very full of love for Krishna. He was married, but right after the marriage ceremony, he took off to see Lord Chaitanya. And his father gave him money to go for his travels. And as some of us might ring a bell in what happened when we joined the movement. When he saw Lord Chaitanya, he gave all the money to Lord Chaitanya. Many of us, when we joined, we gave everything, you know, whatever we had, we just gave it to the temple. So he did the same thing. And then he simply went around with just a begging bowl and lived that way. He was also empowered by Lord Nityananda to deliver sinners on Sankirtan. He was a great Sankirtan devotee. And it was said that Lord Nityananda always resided in his heart. And he established some deities of Gornitai and Lord Gopinath and Damodar in the Godadesh in the Bengal area where he was preaching. So he's also a very important example of the mood of fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's mission of spreading the holy name and delivering all these poor souls in whatever way he possibly could. So we should also do that. And then I would like to spend a little bit more time, I don't know how much time, but on Srinivasacharya, who is actually a very important person in our Sampradaya. I've been rereading a book of Bhakti Ratnakar, which is dedicated to describing the relationships that were between the devotees at this time, how intimate there was association between especially Srinivasacharya, Ramachandra, Kaviraj, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. So, but it highlights especially Srinivasacharya, who was a great admirer of Lord Chaitanya, following in the footsteps of his father. His father really admired Lord Chaitanya and would always talk about Lord Chaitanya to his son Srinivas. And he would also tell him all about the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, of how wonderful they were to do the study and to record the study in books. And so after he was very dedicated to take care of his parents, so after his parents left, he was able to actually get the blessings to go see Lord Chaitanya. And so he decided to take, to go on foot, of course. He couldn't take any other conveyance. To go on foot, so he got the blessings of the devotees around the area to go see Lord Chaitanya. And so, but on the way, he got the distressful notice that Lord Chaitanya had disappeared from the planet. And so, of course, he was totally distraught. But Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream. And he said that, no, you should continue to go to Nilachala, and Gadadhar Pandit is waiting there for you. Nilachala. And so he continued, and then when he got to near Nilachala, he also had a dream, and Lord Jagannath and Balarama Subhadra appeared before him in this dream to encourage him to go on. And when he got there, Gadadhar Pandit was in very bad condition. All the residents were in great disarray because of the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya. And so Gadadhar Pandit said that I've just been waiting here, just hanging on just to see you. And so he embraced and empowered Srinivasacharya, especially in the understanding of the Bhagavatam and distributing the message of the Bhagavatam. At one point he actually put the book that was in his lap, the Bhagavatam, into Srinivasacharya's hands, and was almost illegible because of all the tears that Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya had dripped onto the pages in discussing the Bhagavatam. But just that touch of the book, it was empowering to Srinivasacharya to become also a great scholar and reciter of the Bhagavatam later. And so then Gadadhar Pandit told him that he should continue and go and meet Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And so he went, got the blessings, to go and further his travels. And of course, not very shortly after that, he heard the news that Gadadhar Pandit had left. And he was so depressed, and he loudly cried, so loud that all the animals and the birds cried with him. This is how close these devotees were that this could happen. But he also received another dream, and Gadadhar Pandit was saying, no, you should go and continue on. And so then he continues on, and then he hears news that Advaitacharya and Nityananda have passed away. And so this is kind of like what devotees in ISKCON are experiencing now, that Prabhupada's disciples have did so much service. You know, you look on Facebook, and oh, now Narayan is in the emergency room, and now this person, this devotee that did so much service and had so much love for Prabhupada is leaving. And it's a, you can see where we've inherited these emotions and feelings for our God brothers and God sisters. But another dream saying, no, your duty is to continue on. So he gets the blessings of the residents of Navadvip to keep going. But he continues on, and just before he gets to Vrindavan, he hears Rupa and Sanatan have disappeared. So he actually said that he tore at his chest, ripped open his chest because of this news. And he cried all night. And then Rupa and Sanatan appeared in his dream and said, no, your duty is to go to Vrindavan and take initiation from Gopal Bhakta, because he's non-different than us. And also at the same time, Jiva Goswami, who was in Vrindavan, gets a dream from Rupa and Sanatan saying that Srinivasacharya is coming and you should be prepared for him. So he continues on, and he gets to Mathura, and he makes it to Vrindavan, and he gets to meet the devotees. Of course, they're very anxious. Jiva Goswami is very anxious to hear him. And then he kind of gives him some time with Raghava Pandit, who takes him on a parikrama around Vrindavan, which is, you just got to read this parikrama. It's just like so wonderful. It's like no parikrama you've ever heard of before. It's also in this book by Narahari Chakrabarti, Bhakti Ratnakar. I highly recommend you read it. And so he goes around and sees all the holy places and meets all the wonderful devotees that are living there. Narottam Das Thakur is there. And so he becomes very enlightened and gets to have the association of Shamananda comes there. And they decide that these devotees are fit to carry the books of the Goswamis. They're all handwritten. It's not like they just arrived, you know, off the press. These precious gifts to the Navadvip area, to the devotees there. So they're giving that duty. And they are the first Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan devotees to go. And of course, to shorten, we all know that story where the king, Viramvir, has hired these bandits to go, and not to kill anybody, but they heard that there's a treasure with these saints, to go and rob them. And so they take this big box of, you know, this treasure box, and it ends up to be these books. And the king is like astonished. Just seeing these books, he becomes in ecstasy. And he understands the wealth of them. And he says, my only desire is to see the person who's written these, or to come in association with these persons. And it ends up that, of course, the devotees are devastated, Shamananda and Narottam, they're devastated, and they go off. They don't know what to do. But Srinivasacharya is determined to find these books, and somehow or other he ends up going to Vishnupura, where this king is there, and he enters an assembly of discussion. He actually has discussions where they're hearing the knowledge of the Bhagavatam and different devotional aspects. And the king just can see that when Srinivasacharya comes in, that this is someone special. And they ask him to discuss give their opinion, his opinion on what they're discussing. And of course, it's so enlightening to everyone there. And then it ends up that they get together and find out that, yes, that they were our books and you have stolen them, and the king is devastated that he did such a thing and is apologetic. But the association of Srinivasacharya completely changes the king's disposition, and also his queen is also affected, and they end up becoming devotees of Srinivasacharya, who is gives them a wonderful association, enlivens them, and changes their whole mood of their service. But he has to leave. He's anxious. He sends letters. He can't go on a Zoom call or anything like that, to tell Narottam that the books are here. They have to send letters here and there by hand, on foot, handwritten letters, and it takes who knows how long to get there. But the news is wonderful. Narottam's excited. Everyone's delighted to hear that they found the books. And so ultimately he leaves Vishnupur and they get together. And then they decide that since Lord Chaitanya has left, it's time to have a celebration in his honor. And so they are responsible for organizing the whole Keturi celebration, which the description of that is so absorbing. The arrival of all the devotees. You can imagine the first, like Gaur Purnima, all the devotees that had been feeling separation, they'd come from hundreds and hundreds of miles on foot, all there to come to this festival. And Narottam Das Thakur is organizing all the kirtans, bringing in musical instruments that have never been seen or heard before, and musicians that are out of this world, and demigods are taking, changing their clothes to try to come here, to come to the celebration. And it's everyone's taken care of so nicely by the devotees. And Janamata arrives on the scene. She's respected by everyone. She's a guru already. She's respected and given honor. She's distributing prasadam to everyone else. You can just picture the scene. It's just unimaginable. And then Narottam starts his kirtan. And all the devotees are, it goes on and on with special ragas and raginis and everything you could imagine. And then Lord Chaitanya appears. And everyone gets to see him and have his association and dancing with him. And so this goes on, and then of course he disappears, and then they go back to their places. And later on, Srinivasacharya goes, because he's a real guru, he's very concerned about his disciples. The king has been requesting to have his association again, that he's feeling separation, so he travels all the way by foot just to enliven his disciples. And at that time, Srinivasacharya was already married to a woman, Draupadi, a real saint. And one of their daughters becomes a guru. And then the king arranges, and there's another very qualified woman, so he marries a second time and has two sons that are extremely wonderful devotees. So Srinivasacharya is a wonderful example of being a real guru, a real Saikatan devotee, dedicated householder, raised wonderful children, always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always absorbed in Lord Chaitanya's mission. So these are a few notes about what a glorious day it is to remember Krishna, his pastimes, the cows, and all the wonderful devotees that are allowing us to be in their family. And it's a glorious family. I have some carrots and apples. If anyone would like to go visit the cows on their way out to go to do their service, You might not be able to come back later. To do a little service for our cows. They're all over in this field over here. You just have to be careful of the one that's Ron that has the curly curly things. He's a real big one, the brown and white one. They're called Guernsey. He can be really a bully. So if there's a few of you that can go together, you kind of keep him busy with some while you feed the others. Otherwise, he pushes them all out of the way. Abai is real gentle, no problem. He'll eat all this in one bite. But if you can come back with your own food, that'd be very nice, because this is just like a one. It's not even a sweet ball for them. So and they're all usually anxious to accept your offerings. So if you want to take a handful and head out there and give a little mercy and take some mercy from the cows, that'd be very nice. John, how glorious you will call.